Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I am now joined here in the new podcasting studio with some of the production team. So we have Jacob Green, Katie Selman, and Zach Burke.
Hello.
Hey, Travis.
It's good to have everybody here.
I can't believe we're back here in this new studio,
Studio.
But we're back, Invisible Icon.
And all here for a birthday party.
Yes, we all have hats on. We already sang happy birthday because we can't do it on air.
Because it's copyrighted.
Because it's copyrighted, but rest assured it has been said and sang.
Keep Waco Loud and Rogue Media Network, this is Invisible Icon. I'm your host, Travis Scott, and we have a very special episode planned for you. We have an interview between executive producer Zach Burke and legendary singer-songwriter and upcoming documentarian Marshall Crenshaw.
Me, Mr. Burke. Right?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Reasonably well.
So, with Tom's birthday being on the 25th, obviously we wanted to do something special for the episode, and I couldn't think of a better thing to do besides have our next guest on, Mr. Marshall Crenshaw, who is actually in the process, just wrapped up. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. Your documentary project on Mr. Wilson, and just I'm super excited to be able to see everything that you know you guys have been able to put together, and I can only imagine that it's had to have been a similar journey as it was with ours with getting the podcast done, of just being able to dive into the world of Tom Wilson.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been really caught up in it for 7 years now, and but I mean, a lot of ups and downs emotionally. But, I mean, I really do love the project. It's a gas. I wouldn't say that I'm wrapping it up now, but we are entering into the end game phase, let's say, or we're trying to. At the beginning of last year, at the beginning of 2020, I did feel confident that during that year, you know, we'd get it finished. But then, you know, of course, nature and the law had a different plan, but we're really rolling for sure, and I feel like I have a best case scenario situation with the people that I'm working with, you know, a lot of trial and error, along the way. But anyway, it's great. It's been fun, really gratifying.
That's absolutely awesome, and I'm so excited to see the end product once it gets there. The one question that I've always had, though, that I was hoping, you know, I think that you could shed some better light on is the fact of I came at this project as, you know, I'm somebody who I learned how to play the alto sax in high school band. I'm a fan of music. I'm not a musician. Somebody in your profession who obviously that's been part of your life for so long. And then the story of Tom Wilson and just how under the radar he went, I guess, how does that affect, or I guess, can you explain more from that aspect of like a musician field of how that hits compared to somebody, you know, like myself? I guess I look at it as just, and I'm sitting here talking circles around myself, trying to find the best way to explain it. But I looked at it as a story that needed to be told. You as somebody yourself who's a musician and in that business, how do you feel about the story then as you're familiar with a lot of what's going on?
Well, I'd say I'm the same as you in that, you know, I found out about the story and was just dumbstruck, you know, that there was a hole in history where this story was supposed to be. But I'm not a filmmaker. I still wouldn't call myself a filmmaker. I'm a singer, songwriter, guitar player, recording artiste. That's been my whole life. I have a friend named Erwin Chusid. I know you probably know that name.
Yes, sir.
He's the guy that put up that website back in 2013. And, you know, I'm on some of Erwin's email lists, and he sent me a note that he started this website. And when I looked at it, I don't know, something just happened in my brain. I thought, this, I can't even be seeing what I think I'm seeing. Here's this guy whose name I vaguely remember from seeing on records. This is one person, right? Who, it says here on Erwin's website, this one person discovered Cecil Taylor and produced three of his first four albums. He discovered Sun Ra, put an asterisk beside the word discover, but anyway, he discovered Sun Ra. Then he was Bob Dylan's producer during the stretch of albums where Dylan went electric. Then he gave, you know, the Velvet Underground, Frank Zappa, Simon and Garfunkel, you know, breaks that nobody else was going to give them. He produced 20 hits for Eric Burdon and the Animals. This is like one person who did all this. And, I knew enough to see a connectivity between the names Cecil Taylor, Sun Ra, Electric Dylan, Velvet Underground, Simon and Garfunkel. You know, I see that there, it's a list of provocateurs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, this guy has cultivated all these provocateurs. So, like, what's his agenda, you know? Anyway, all these things just kind of flashed through my mind. And suddenly, it just hit me, you know, that on the homepage of Erwin's website, he throws down the gauntlet. He says, I don't want to write a book about Tom Wilson. I want to read a book about him. But I don't want to make a film about Tom Wilson. I want to see one. So he's challenging somebody. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that I wanted to do it, and then I promised myself I was going to do it, it was a surprise to me, honestly. But anyway, off I went. I didn't know anything about, you know, taking what a first step was going to be, or how to do what I wanted to do. But I just sort of started and just didn't stop.
So then I didn't realize till just now, is that our us as a group and then you and your group, we're basically answering that gauntlet that was thrown down, right? We've responded to Erwin.
Yeah, you could say that for sure. It was definitely Erwin's website that provoked this whole thing with me, you know.
So then you talked about being there in the final stages. How is it, obviously, you're putting the final touches, but to see this, you know, project, this baby, as you talked about working on for so long, finally get to that place, though, if it's something you've worked so hard and now you're finally seeing it, you know, kind of come to fruition there and you're getting close to it.
Oh, it's exciting, you know. But there's, you know, right at the beginning, I thought, somewhere along the way, what if I hit a insurmountable stumbling block of some kind, you know. So I kept waiting for that moment for something to happen where the whole thing was just going to fall into the ditch, you know. But it just, it didn't work that way. It was kind of the opposite, you know. It was like the universe was friendly to this thing from the start. I'm still, you know, until it's really, really done, I'm still keeping my emotions in check, right? But no, it's really, I mean, it's been really great. I wanted to find the story, and now I feel like I have, and it's just a matter of taking all the information and all the content and making an artistic statement with it, you know. That's what remains to be done.
I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us. I have just a couple more questions for you, Marshall.
Okay.
I was sitting here and thinking about it, and you talk about obviously all the emotions that get into it. And I think that, you know, people are drawn to this story because of just kind of how forgotten it seems in time that Tom is. Do you think that we're in a place now where something like this could happen even today, where there could be, you know, a producer or somebody like that that could fall by the wayside? Or is it just, you know, part of it, just the time of when it happened? What do you think added to the fact of why, you know, somebody who was attached to so much is known kind of by so little?
You know, I still don't 100% understand it exactly, like why he became like a forgotten name. There have been a couple instances where we've asked to talk to somebody about it, somebody that, you know, it's clear knew him, at least for a time. But a lot of people say, you know, I don't really remember him. And I'm like, wait a minute. 6'4", the only African-American in the whole office. You don't remember him? You know, but I've gotten that kind of vibe from people before. And I'm like, I'm not really sure what that's all about. But no, I'm still mystified by that, you know. But anyway, I guess we'll hopefully figure all that out.
Yes, sir. Well,
before we're done.
Do you feel, I guess I'll leave you with this. And obviously, I think I'll at least speak from how I look at stuff. And when you create this project, you don't know how it's going to be received or, you know, how it can affect people. For you, and is it more of that you want it to make sure to tell the best story possible? Do you want to get just more recognition out of there? I guess, what is it that you would like, hopefully, once the documentary set and, you know, done, you've got it shipped, you've got it sent off, and your project, your baby in a way, is complete. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what is it that would make it a success for you? Is it just completing it? Is it getting it out there for other people to see?
Well, you know, we want to honor him, definitely. He's a game-changing figure in popular music. I mean, I'll say that in capital letters. And so I guess, you know, in the first place, we want to be able to do justice to him. That's the first thing. And then also, I think that he deserves like a really vibrant artistic statement to be made on his behalf, because he was a vibrant person and he brought a lot of, you know, energy and into the things that he did, and put energy in the world that might not have been there otherwise. So, you know, I just want the movie or whatever we end up with to do justice to what he did and who he was, and just, you know, what kind of figure he was. And also his life and times, you know, because it was a real memorable time for people that lived through it, and a time period that people are still interested in. So all of that.
Thank you again, Mr. Crenshaw, for your time. I appreciate you taking the time out just to answer some questions for us to put it on the podcast this week. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, that's great. I really like what you guys are doing, and maybe I'll even see you.
Yeah. Hey, if you come to Waco, let us know. We are more than happy to take you out and show you around. And we might have some exciting news that we can share with you here in the future about Tom and the city too.
Yeah, I already heard something from T about it. Yeah, as soon as he tells us when he's cool to have us come down, then we'll make a whole trip out of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we know that there's going to be signage put up for sure, and we're in the works of you know, potentially a stage, a performance area in here named after him and stuff too. So we're slowly being able to help get the recognition in town. So it'll be awesome.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, I look forward to meeting you.
Yes.
And I think it'll be soon, you know?
Yes, sir. I look forward to it too. Stay safe and I appreciate it very much.
All right. Be well. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Following the interview, we were able to sit down with the team to talk about what it means on Tom's birthday and the extended conversation that we've been able to have following the original recording of the podcast. So I would say, you know, since the original airing of the podcast, we've all had so many opportunities to talk to other people about Tom Wilson and what it means to us and what he means to other people and the impact of what he's had on the community. What are some of the experiences that you guys have been fortunate to have in this time in between?
Well, one of my favorite things is that we were asked to actually speak with a class on Tom Wilson and a couple of classes through Zoom because, you know, 2020, 2021. And it was really cool to talk to a professor who is local here in Waco and
super fan also.
Super. Well, that's what I was going to say. He's a super fan of the podcast. Yeah. He reached out to Tom's son. And he has been so supportive. And in fact, I don't think I've told all of you this, maybe just Jacob, but he wants us to all come over to the church that he owns. He bought an old historical church that's no longer, it's going to become a music venue. He wants all of us to come over for dinner and we are all going to eat Tom's favorite meal.
What?
Yeah, he wants
to
have us.
I forgot to respond to his text message.
Oh, you should do that.
He texted me today and I just
said. Oh, it was today. That's not bad.
I am so stoked.
Yeah,
how cool is that?
He asked Tom Wilson III what Tom's favorite meal was. And so he wants to fix that for us and kind of just, you know, celebrate the podcast and how much he really enjoyed listening to it.
That is so cool. Wow.
So, yeah, yeah.
I forgot that was a thing. And that is very cool. Among that, I forgot that we got to talk to those classes. That was very cool. The engagement that we got from the kids was very special. And it felt like we genuinely were educating them on something that they can now be proud of to be going to school at Baylor.
Especially, educating Generation Z through something other than TikTok. That's how I learn things these days.
It was still through Zoom, so it still had the feel that they wanted.
You guys just didn't have to do any TikTok dances.
No, Travis Scott, we did not.
Great, okay.
I'm a savage. I'm just kidding, sorry. No, but it was a really cool experience. It was also really eye-opening to see what it's like as a professor to have to like teach in Zoom because a lot of kids like wanted to have their cameras off. There was one like taking a walk in the middle of the class, just like outside. I was like, this is so odd.
So in addition to the opportunity to speak with students and, you know, of course, with our peers as well about the legacy and the impact of Tom Wilson, there have been some developments in the community of Waco that are still in progress, so we can't give details about those at this point. But in the meantime, our podcast has been submitted for a Murrow Award. So yet another step in the journey to making Tom Wilson Jr. a household name.
Yeah, and how close we are to that is pretty incredible.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to just kind of give a tease in a bit at the end of the interview with Marshall Crenshaw just to kind of let him know where things are at. And it's just cool just to even say the things we're working on. That just knowing that the steps we're making, the progress we're making, like it's super exciting. And it's an awesome feeling to have.
He said something, though, that was pretty, it kind of shocked me a little bit. Can we just talk about that for a second?
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Where he brought up the fact that our group of the Invisible Icon group and he and the group he has working on the documentary for Tom right now are the only two entities that are out there basically kind of telling Tom's story. So it's up to us. And that's kind of, he referenced, obviously, friend of ours, Erwin Chusid, of how
of course
he brought up on the website that he didn't want to write a book. He wanted to read a book, and he kind of threw that gauntlet down, and I brought it up to Marshall, and I feel like, well, then that's kind of us answering that gauntlet of what he threw down of, you know, Marshall Crenshaw putting together a documentary, us putting together this podcast series. It's us being able to get that information about Tom out there to everybody.
You know, one thing I haven't seen is actual like live footage of Tom. And I'm kind of excited of the, you know, idea of like in the documentary, maybe he has that live footage. I've only heard audio. I've only seen pictures.
Maybe some home videos.
Ooh, oh, man, never
that
know.
Would be so. That would be pretty.
I mean, that would be pretty so old.
Well, I mean, yeah. If you had some money back then, you had some good equipment and you got some footage.
I mean, I don't think that's really footage. Changed.
The thing that I don't know if it exists, but that I want to see because I've seen a still, you know, a photograph of it. So I know he was there. Is obviously Tom's there when they shot the music video for Subterranean Homesick Blues. Like
oh, right. Yeah, he's up
while
on
Dylan's
the rooftop.
Holding one of the cue cards. There has to be some behind the scenes footage there. But just to know that that iconic music video, Tom's there with him while he's doing it. Yeah. So that'd be something if it were
out
there.
That's great.
There's a lot of those, like, you know, holy grail type things. Obviously, the hope that are out there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Some, yeah, nice little cherries.
One thing that I love about this journey is that we're not only impacting, you know, people who have listened to the podcast, kids in the classrooms, that kind of thing, but we're actually impacting actual musicians that are from Waco, who play music in Waco and aspire to be a musician or a producer, or, you know, they want to do this for a living. And I think that that's something that's really special.
So normally at the end of the episode, I share with you some of my thoughts and reflections on the content that I have been reading through or the content that we've discussed over the course of the episode. But in honor of Tom's birthday, we want to share with you the thoughts of the musicians in the community about what Tom Wilson means to them.
Tell me who you are.
I am Kalik IQ.
And where are you from?
I am from Waco, Texas, also Mart, Texas.
Mart, Texas, okay. And what would recognizing somebody like Tom Wilson mean for the Waco and the music community?
It would mean a lot because he is someone that is obviously from Waco. He's an African-American man who actually paved the way for a lot of musicians, a lot of the greats, as you mentioned earlier, some great iconic people like Bob Dylan. And he deserved to get, you know, his recognition for being such a pivotal person in history when it comes to music as a whole, and giving inspiration to people such as myself and some other fellow musicians here around Waco that are African-American males as well.
Absolutely, and I feel like a lot of times, like, you know, especially in the past, like you gave recognition to the artist, but the thing is, the artist would be nothing without the producer. The producer is the artist. And like with Simon and Garfunkel, they had the song called Sound of Silence, and it fell flat. And then Tom Wilson grabbed this song and created the Sounds of Silence, which is the song, you know, he added all of this beautiful music to it, and it went the 50s or 60s equivalent of viral at the time. And it's like he knew he had this ear for music. So tell me who you are and why you think Tom Wilson should be recognized.
My name's De'Arian, and I am from Waco, Texas. And man, I believe that Tom Wilson should be like recognized in Waco is like, because, you know, most people, when they come into music scene, like, they're always like, hey, I want to be an influential person, you know, do big things. And then when you find out that somebody from your town and, you know, does that, and then they go on to do really great things like you wouldn't even think of doing. And it's just like, hey, that's like another person that aspired to, like, you know, we got the John Mayers on Earth. We got the Lady Gaga, we got the Drakes on Earth. Like, it's somebody else, but somebody who's closer to home than, you know, far off. And, you know, you've never seen him before. It's just like somebody like, hey, he lived down the street, you know, some live under this. So I believe that's why. So
he literally lived down the street, like literally right that way down the street. And, you know, it's like one of those things where there's literally about to be a documentary that's going to come out about him. And I want Waco to recognize him beforehand, not let America like have this moment of like recognizing Tom Wilson. And then Waco has to be on the back end. You know, like I want Waco to be like, we already recognize this person. One of my favorite facts about Tom Wilson is that he was so busy and so like, he was one of the most important producers from the 60s and 70s that, again, people don't know who he is, yet he was so busy he turned down Jimi Hendrix. So tell me who you are and why you think Tom Wilson Jr. should be recognized.
I am Saxy Gerald, a.k.a. Saxy G, and I am also from Waco. And I feel like Tom Wilson should get his recognition because he is from Waco, just straight up. A lot of beginning artists, whenever they think about who's something that inspires them, it's a lot of times from people that are from out of town, Dallas, L.A., Houston, New York, Florida, all of that. And but they rarely know about the people who are in their local community and everything like that. And so with recognizing Tom Wilson and like educating the youth and all the other aspiring musicians about who this man was and what he did, that just gives them a lot more hope. Instead of trying to look out outward for inspiration, they can look internally for that. And then, you never know, mess up and mess around and blow up the city, you know, put Waco on the bigger map for music. And you don't have to go to Dallas or Austin for that. You don't have to go to LA. You can come right here in Waco and we can really, there's a lot of talent in the city. And they need to know who this man is. That way we can be inspired to do something great for the city.
You don't have to go to Austin. You don't have to go to Dallas. We could literally become, we have the platform, we have the growth, we have the talent to become a music hub. You know, we could be the Nashville of Texas. Is there anything else any of y'all would like to add to that or talk about your own craft and, you know, what you think about Waco and the music scene?
I think Waco, like he said earlier, has a lot of potential. We have a lot of gifted, talented people here from all spectrums, ranging from not only country and rock, but also R&B, hip-hop, neo jazz, jazz. It doesn't matter. You name it, Waco has it. I mean, we're like, we're Central Texas, and it makes sense for us to have a very diverse sense of culture when it comes to music. And I mean, like, we're in between all these major cities, so we get an influx of all the different personalities that come through, and we want to be able to cultivate here so that way people don't have to feel like they have to go somewhere else beyond Waco in order to get that light that they, you know, rightfully deserve.
Do you see like a major shift in the music scene from like even 5 years ago? Do you feel like the city is embracing a more diverse music culture?
I would hope so. I moved back 2 years ago, and I'm fairly new to the music world as well as a musician. I didn't start taking it serious until like last year, but I knew that there was different ones that were doing music here. You know, from Verbal C to
Symbolic One.
You know, you got all of those, the OGs of Waco. So I'm sure there has been a significant change within the last 5 years. But yeah, no, I definitely feel like it is still changing in a certain direction that is different from all the other places around us and stuff like that.
Absolutely, and I feel like people like Tom Wilson and even Symbolic One had to leave the city in order to get to the point that they are right now. And I hope soon it becomes, this is a place that you could actually come. It's a hub, there's recording studios, there's hype, there's all of the things that gives everyone, especially our young people, a platform to become not only successful, but like financially successful as a musician here in Waco. We're gonna make some really, really good music here in Waco. I'm really excited for the future.
Facts.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Make music together. Let's make sweet almond.
A huge thanks to the people who helped put this podcast together, our executive producers,
Jacob Green,
Katie Selman,
Lindsay Lipman,
Zach Burke,
and I'm Mike Hamilton.
And I'm Travis Scott, and this has been Invisible Icon, the Tom Wilson story. This podcast is produced by Rogue Media Network. Our theme music is by The Bolies.
This has been a Rogue Media Network podcast.